and now Ben Bailey.
A husband and wife had been married for multiple years, and it was the wife's birthday was approaching. And so the husband asked his wife, "Honey, what would you like for your birthday?" And she responded by saying, "I'd love to be six again." And so as the birthday approached, he began to think to himself what a wonderful day he could make this for his wife, the best birthday ever. And so the day rolls around and he gets her up early and they head off to the local theme park. They get there early, stay late. They ride every ride you can imagine, the Tower of Fear, Superman, Batman, whatever it may be, the roller coasters. After about 5 hours, he drags her out of the theme park, head reeling, stomach upset, and it's off to McDonald's for a big meal, Big Mac, Happy Meal, ice cream, the best time she's ever had. And so the day continues. After that, they head to watch the latest Star Wars movie. Popcorn with extra butter, Big Coke, candy, and after the whole day's over, she's just exhausted, and she finally lays down in bed, and he says, "Well, honey, how did it feel to be six again?" And she said, "You idiot, I meant my size, not my age." And so you can imagine, the moral of the story is, if a woman speaks and a man is actually listening, he'll probably get it wrong. Tonight we're going to speak about the subject of communication. For communication is key in marriage. If our marriages are going to be what we want them to be, and ultimately what God wants them to be, we must have good communication. Open with me tonight to the passage that was read, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. I'm just briefly, before we see our video, going to give you some basic tips, some common sense guidelines for good communication that I think if we all put into practice would really be helpful. Look in Ephesians 4 and verse 29. The first key, first tip in communication is don't speak out of anger. Don't speak out of anger. Notice the words of Ephesians 4:29. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Colossians 4 verse 6 says our speech is to be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that we may know how to answer every person. The worst thing you can do in a marriage relationship is when two people are having an argument and you get angry and then you say something that you wish you hadn't said. Think before you speak and don't speak out of anger. Reminds me of a story about Winston Churchill, a great diplomat. You remember Winston Churchill? He was at a lady's house and she was having a party, and so she thought she was going to invite fancy people over and have a fancy party and everybody follow the etiquette. Winston Churchill just wasn't raised that way. And so he didn't meet all her guidelines. He didn't follow the proper etiquette. And finally she got out, put out with him, and she said, "Mr. Churchill, if you were my husband, I'd poison you." And according to his wit, he said, "Lady, if you're my wife, I'd drink that poison." Well, sometimes we do spew out that venom. And sometimes we do say things in anger that we ought not to say. And so the first key to communication is, don't speak out of anger. Slow down, take a deep breath, think about what you're doing, and think about the importance of the relationship you're in. Secondly, don't send mixed messages. Don't say one thing and then act another. Don't expect your spouse to be a mind reader. We're not mind readers. None of us are. And the only way we really know how somebody's feeling is if they communicate that to us. God communicates to us. He gave us His exact word. He spoke plainly in the Scriptures. And a key to good communication is, don't expect somebody to read your mind. Don't expect somebody to automatically know how you're feeling. I think sometimes couples can be around each other so long, they'll say, "Well, I kind of expected you to do that." Well, if you don't tell me, I don't know for sure whether you are that way or not. Reminds me of a story of a husband and wife who've been giving each other the silent treatment. He asked, "Are you mad at me?" "I'm not mad," she replied. "Are you sure nothing's wrong?" he asked. "Nothing's wrong." So she tried one last time and says, "I can tell something's wrong," to which he replied, "Well, if you didn't know what it is, I'm not going to tell you." Sometimes we kind of expect people to be that way, to be a mind reader. So a second step, don't send mixed messages. Thirdly, a key to communication is timing. Timing is everything. The stand-up comedian has got to have timing. Suspense novels have to have timing in their communication. Well, the same is true in marriages. It's probably not best to meet the tired spouse who's been working at the door at the end of the day and say, we've got problems. That's kind of the last thing you want to hear at the end of a long day. It's probably not best when someone's engrossed in something or walking out the door and it's not the time to say, let's talk. That's not the good timing. That's not the situation that you need to enter into a discussion like that. Ecclesiastes 3 teaches us there is a time and a season for everything. And not only do we need to be careful what we say, we need to pick the best timing to do things and to talk about things, times when both parties can sit down and discuss the matter. Another key is to plan. Plan your words before you say them. Solomon said in Proverbs 16:23, intelligent people think before they speak. Think about what you're going to say. James 1:19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Before I say something, if I want to make good communication, I want to make the marriage grow through communication, I need to think up here before I let the words come out here. Think about what you're going to say and be careful how you say that. Another key is that we need to focus. If your focus is on your spouse or your children's need, then they're going to listen. You don't want to communicate something, but you want to communicate with someone. You ever been sitting listening to maybe your spouse, husband or wife? I think maybe husband's more like this. You're sitting and you know they're talking and you know they're saying something, but you just kind of vegged out and you have no clue what the conversation is really about. See, that's not good communication. We need to focus. We need to pay attention. We need to listen. And if it's important enough for them to tell me, I need to think it important enough for me to listen and give an attention to that. And leads us to our next key. We need to be good listeners. Communication is not all about talking. You know, sometimes I think when we give sermons like this and talk about communication, we seem to think that it's about me saying something. Communication is not always about you saying something. It's not always about me saying something. The best communicators are good listeners. We need to learn in communication to listen. To be a good communicator, you'll seek to understand and then to be understood. Don't be like the jerk that recently said about his wife, if I want my wife's opinion, I'll give it to her. Be a good listener. Listen carefully. And God teaches us to do this throughout Scripture. Turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. Here's an old wise saying Solomon gave in the long ago that teaches us a very important principle about listening in communication. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. The Scripture says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Sometimes we've got an idea before someone really gets the sentence out what they're going to say, and the men who are especially the problem solvers are quick to say something before they even get the sentence out. Like has been said already, oftentimes they're not looking for a solution. The wives are looking for someone to listen, but to be a good communicator, you've got not just to be able to say, but to listen, to take it in as well and listen to what's being said. Well, another key is to encourage. Speak positively, not abrasively. Any fool can be a critic, but it takes a good communicator to listen, say something positive and encouraging in response to that. You're not far from it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16, and I'd like you to look in verses 21 through 24. That's Proverbs 16, verses 21 through 24. And notice the encouraging words that are used here. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. But the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Say something positive. Say something encouraging. I've always heard it said, and I think it's so true, if you don't have anything good to say, probably be best not to say anything at all. And especially in the husband and wife relationship, as we're trying to build one another up, help one another grow, as our ultimate goal is to help one another get to heaven, let's encourage one another along the way. And then finally, be sure in communication to reaffirm your love to one another when the arguments do come. Anyone who says they haven't had an argument, just to be plain tonight, is lying. Everybody's had challenges. Everybody's had arguments. Everybody has had disagreements. And naturally, human nature, sometimes that's part of our communication. But we need to realize that when we do fight, when we do argue, when difficulties do arise and we disagree, we need not let those overshadow the marriage relationship. We need to reaffirm our love to one another. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Make sure to make it right so that the marriage relationship can grow and can prosper. And so may God help each of us to communicate properly in marriage. Can't tell you the good communication will do in making your marriage grow and flourish. Aren't you glad tonight God communicated with us? Aren't you glad tonight that we have this book? You can know God, you can know His will, and you can know exactly what God wants you to do. God doesn't beat around the bush. This is not a book of mysteries and shadows. God clearly lays out what a person must do to become a Christian. You've got to hear the Word. You must believe in Jesus as the Son of God. You must repent of those things in your life that are not right. Confess the beautiful name of Jesus before men. And you must be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Have you done that tonight? Are you sure that you're right with God? Have you listened in communication? Have you listened to what God says? And then have you responded properly by doing the will of God? If as a child of God, your life has not been lived as it should, maybe you've had trouble in your relationship. Maybe these series of lessons have helped you to see and will see, continue to see tonight, that maybe there's some areas you need to work on, and maybe you need the help and the encouragement, not just of God, but of other saints.